Amen. And these are two gentlemen that I really respect and feel that God has moved to a higher level, and they've both been a blessing in many ways in my life. Amen. You know who fixed the air conditioning? It's Brother Josh. He asked me, he said, is it working? I said, no. And he was not going to go in. I said, I'll tell you what, you go and look. I insisted, you go and look, because you might see something I didn't see. And he did see something that I didn't see. It was just a switch needed to be switched. So I'm blessed today for that. Amen. And at this time, we're going to have Brother Josh come and speak to us. And then after that, Brother Longoria is going to come and speak to us. Amen.
Happy Father's Day, everybody. So I've often heard that becoming a parent is one of the most challenging, yet rewarding things you can do in your life. And up to this point, it's been challenging, but probably not the most challenging, but I do have two girls, so I'm only expecting that to get worse as they get older. And if you were to compare Father's Day with Mother's Day, I think everyone would agree Mother's Day usually gets a bigger turnout, usually a bigger celebration. And I think it's rightfully so. Mothers, they put in more work. They have a bigger part of the upbringing of the child. And I think God feels that with children, with us here on earth as well. And that's kind of, he has fathers feel that part of his being. When God gave us free will, he kind of tied his hands in terms of his interaction with us. He can bless us, but we have to ask for it first. And as fathers, you know, in the childbirthing process, you can offer all the encouragement you want, but it's ultimately the mother's job to push that baby out. In the middle of the night when it's time to feed that kid, if she's breastfeeding, not a lot the dad can do. And so you kind of feel like your hands are tied. You can't really help out in those areas, and I think that kind of gives us a perspective of God and knowing how he feels with us having free will, that he gave us the choice to serve him or not. He's not going to force us to do it, and so he kind of takes a role like that. And so related to that, I think it's amazing how as you progress through life, we learn different aspects of God's character through experience, through different roles we take. As a child, we learn about God being our father through our parents. Like it's been alluded to, if you don't have a father at home, sometimes your relationship with God then suffers because you haven't learned what a father can be. And then as adolescents, we learn about God being our friend. Friends become a bigger part of our lives. And then we learn what it means to be a good friend, and we learn that God is our friend. God is the perfect friend. As adults, we learn about God being a provider for us when money's tight, when we got the bills stacked up, we don't know where to turn. We know we can turn to God, and he's going to provide for us. When you get married, you learn about God being your husband. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. And husbands learn what that means when it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We learn that role. And then once you become a parent, once a child enters your life, you learn about that role of being a father to that child and what that means in that aspect. And the aspect of this that sticks out the most to me is the understanding of mercy that God shows towards us. Everyone knows kids, they do things they're not supposed to. And as jobs, it's our duty to discipline them, to correct them, to guide them. But that aspect of mercy comes in, you're like, did you really need a spanking for dumping your cup out on the floor? Do you really need a spanking for doing that? Like, if you just listened to me, you wouldn't be getting a spanking. And so, you know, at times I find myself sometimes giving Vera a little too many chances. I tell her not to do something, she does it. I say, all right, if you do it again, you're going to get a spanking. She does it again. Well, maybe she started doing it before I said the word spanking. I'll give her one more chance. She does it again, like, if you just listen to me, you wouldn't be getting a spanking right now. And yeah, I just was called soft. But if you think about it, God looks the same way towards us, right? How many times we come to God where we did the same thing over again, where we did the same thing over, and God still forgives us. And so did she deserve those second chances? No. But God's mercy is everlasting. Another aspect of God's nature that I've seen in being a parent is the aspect of God's never changing. His word is, in Psalms 119, 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." If God said it, it's there. As parents, the same thing needs to be true. If we say it to our kids, we need to stick to it. If we change rules, if we change guidelines, if we change expectations, that structure's broken. They don't know which way to go. And then that also brings stability to their lives. They know, if they know what's expected of them, then they know what's a failure, what's not a failure, what is right, what is wrong. In James 1 and 17, it says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow cast by his turning." Our children need to see us acting the same way in church as we do outside of church. If we live differently outside of these walls, if we live differently when people from church don't see us, our kids are going to pick up on that. They're going to see you act one way at church, you act a different way at home. It's not really a way of life. It's pretty much like going to work. Another one is in 1 Peter 1, 24 through 25, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." What we speak into our children will go with them the rest of their lives. How many of you can hear yourself saying the same things as your parents said to you when you were growing up, when you're disciplining your kids? We all have been there. You're like, "I am my dad," or "I am my mom." You have those moments. And so you need to be careful what words you use. As Paul said this morning, he got busted saying some stuff in front of his kid, and it came back. And we need to be careful what we say in front of our kids. They are always listening. They are always watching. They are sponges, and they just absorb it all in there. And as you all know, I'm very short-winded. So my last point here is, in Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, "Little children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate." So as a father, I need to keep in mind that my goal is to have my children one day leave my house. And that's a good goal. No one wants a kid living at their house all their... And so everything I pour into my child should have this in mind. So I should be looking for character traits in my children that are one day going to help them be successful adults after I leave my house. And then with that, so you can craft this amazing arrow that can shoot straight as a laser. But if you never fire that arrow, it doesn't do anything. If it stays in your quiver all the time, it's never going to hit the target. So I can pour into my kids everything that they ever needed, but if I don't release them into the world, then it's going to be for nothing. So I encourage all the fathers here, all the parents here at Rehoboth, to be aware of how God is revealing himself to you in your role as parents and through the rest of your lives, to err on the side of mercy as God does with us, to be diligent in having the words to be in the words to be your children, to show them truth, to be ever mindful of the arrow you're crafting to one day fire at the target of a productive adulthood, and living for Christ and contributing life to those around them. Thanks. Now we're going to have Brother Longoria come up and say some words on fatherhood.
Dios bendiga. Oh, excuse me. Praise the Lord. I forgot what was that. Praise God. When I was invited up here by Pastor Brown to come and say a few words, many things crossed my mind. I'm not that long-winded. So I'm just gonna name this A Few Good Men. Sometimes I like to put a sign in front of the church saying, "Help wanted." Now we are hiring men. Men to come to church to not only to preach, but to press, spread the gospel. We need help. Bible says that harvest is few, workers are. We have very, very few people. Ezekiel 22:30, it says, I saw for few men among them, and to make up the hedges, and stand in the gap before them, and for the land, and I will not destroy it, but I found none. Now we as men have to step to the plate and become real men. The prerequisite of becoming a good father is being a good man, is taking responsibility as a man, think like a man, acting like a man, and try to be a good father. You will not be a good father until you become a good man. It's a dying art nowadays. There are not many fathers in this nation anymore. But I thank God for the few fathers we have in this church. They're good fathers. I know today is Father's Day, but I also want to salute single mothers and the grandparents that are raising their children. It's not an easy task. It is hard. If I had a hat, I'll take it off to you guys. Being a father comes with, we have no instructions with our children. We have to learn to do our best. I was raised by my grandparents. I was a troubled child growing up. I just thank God for my grandfather. He threw me inside a boxing ring. I should love to fight. He told me to come in this ring and fight instead of fighting in the streets. You'll become a better person, trust me. And I trusted my grandfather because he was right. It was not easy growing up in the projects because all we did was steal and fought. So therefore, when I became a father, I didn't want my children to be raised that way. I want to be different than what I was. I have three stepchildren and three boys of my own. Yesterday, I received a card from my stepson, Cruz. The card read, "Ever since you became part of my mother's life, you became a big part of mine. That was heartfelt for me. I felt that because knowing that I impacted his life the way he did meant a lot. Not only as a stepfather, but also as a role model for him. Proverbs 20:7 says, "A righteous man walks through his integrities, but a child is best after him." The way I see this is, boys follow men. If the fathers are being fathers, their children will be blessed as well. We need our children. The kids nowadays, what they need is lots of love. They need to be understood. The key word is love. It is hard for kids nowadays without parents because, like Josh says, it's hard because they have no father at all. But we have to be an example to your children. You know, we as men have to be men and man up. You know, we have to continue going forward. We can't go back. You know, if we do wrong, the kids are going to follow us, like Brother Josh said again. They're like sponges. You know, they do have a lot to learn from us if we're willing to teach them. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, "Children, obey your parents." Nowadays, these kids do not even know what respect is for anymore. They don't know how to say, "I'm sorry," or "thank you," or "excuse me," or "you're welcome." All they want is just take from you. We as parents have to teach these children discipline. And we have to learn how to stand up and say no. Stand firm. No, no is no. Wrong is wrong. Two wrongs don't make one right. You know, 1 Corinthians 16:3 says, "Be on guard. Stand firm in faith. Be courteous. Be courteous. Be strong. Good men nowadays are hard to come by. No, they're hard to come by. And that's very sad to say. It hurts you to say that because I mean, as a man, it's hard to see men not be men anymore. Sometimes you see more women be more manly than men are. We just said. But a man who leans against the Lord will learn plenty. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all the ways. He should direct our path. You know, my brother called me this morning and wished me happy Father's Day. And he says to me, you know, brother, I miss Dad. My dad's been deceased for quite some time now. I smiled and I said to him, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and lead us not to our own understanding. You know, we have to continue to give him the glory. It is Father's Day, but you know what? He is our Father. He is the main Father. We have fathers that are here today, but you know what? Our main Father is upstairs. You know, we have to learn to continue to be strong and stay courage. You know, we are here to help each other out as men. Iron sharpens iron. As for Father's Day for ourselves today, you know, I just want to give Pastor Browning recognition for being a great father. Pastor. God bless y'all. Dios lo bendiga.
Amen. Amen. You know, the honor is kind of misplaced. For me anyway. Amen. If you could stand on your feet. Because I was a little bit of an absentee dad. I was always traveling. So for times, Sister Yvonne was both mother and father. And I know some of you understand what it's be to be both mother and father. And she can understand that too, because many times I was gone 2-3 weeks at a time. She would take me to the airport and I was gone on traveling, doing my work. And then I'd come back and everything was handled. And I remember one time when I was gone, my son Paul and his brothers, they went down to the park and they decided that they would try some extreme sports. He's not in here. But I think he tied a rope to a skateboard, and okay, we're closing. Okay.
The story was my brothers Matt and Paul. I actually wasn't there, but I know all that went down though. But they went down. There's this park that's by our house, and it has a very long, steep hill, very long and steep. And my brother Paul is a daredevil, and so anyway, Matthew got on his bike, and Paul got behind him on a skateboard. It wasn't on a rope. He was hanging on the seat. He had his hands on the seat. And they went down the hill like this, and the skateboard hit a rock, and he slipped, and he did like a flip, and he like landed on, and kind of went all the way down the hill, kind of rolled the west down the hill, and he was injured very, very badly. Like when I saw him, like, you know, a lot of his skin had been scraped, and he had this huge knot on his head, looked like a ball on his head. I'm just telling the truth. I'd never seen him that beat up in my life, but. I remember coming home and seeing him like that. I was like, wow, he's in pretty bad shape. So that was the story.
So there. So the point I was making is I wasn't there. And just at that time as they went down the hill, my pastor, who you know, Brother Long, came and picked up Paul because I wasn't there. So a lot of these accolades I have to give to my wife because I was a little bit of an absentee dad. Amen. But you know, our Heavenly Father will never leave us, never forsake us. He's always there, even when you can't see him. He taught his disciples to say, Our Father, amen. And I wasn't there for that particular incident when he busted out his teeth and got messed up. But the pastor was there. Our pastor was there to pick him up and to take him home and do what needed to be done. But I just want to thank God that we have a Heavenly Father who the Bible says was in all points tempted such as we are. Because it seems from Scripture we can see that maybe at some point Joseph was out of the scene, because we never hear from him. So at some point he grew up in a single parent household. So he can understand how it would be to be without a father, especially in those teenage years when you really need a father. So when it says he was in all points tempted, such as we are, yet without sin. Today, let's really not honor our earthly fathers as we close, but honor our Heavenly Father, who understands what you are going through, who has been there. Amen. And you mothers who are single mothers, he understands what it was like to be in a single parent home. I firmly believe that. He understands lack. He understands need. He understands what you're going through. But he has promised in all of that never to leave us, never to forsake us. I had someone send me a message yesterday, and they said, well, sorry, I can't send you anything. But I replied to them, listen, the thought that you have sent is so much more valuable than any kind of card that you could have sent. Cards, I can get tons of cards, but your thoughts are precious. Your thoughts to God are precious right now. What are your thoughts on this Father's Day as we close to our Heavenly Father? Because whether you know it or not, He loves you. Maybe you are like the prodigal son, you have not paid him too much mind. You know, as when my aunt passed away, what occurred to me was, I wish I had called her last week. I mean, the thought crossed my mind several times. I wish I had called her then. Wish I had spoke to her. It was 6 weeks since I spoke to her. Wish I had called her last week just to say something. Don't let that thought pass you by today when the opportunity is to speak to your Heavenly Father. We're going to close, but I wanted to tie this up on a spiritual note. And as we close, to think about our Heavenly Father. If you're standing next to someone, if you could just lay your hand upon their shoulder. We're going to pray for each other. I'm not going to have an altar call, but just lay your hand gently on someone's shoulder or grab their hand. And we're going to close in prayer. And we're going to honor as we close our Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you today for your grace and your mercy. Lord, your love that we don't even understand, that, oh God, the peace that you can give us that can pass human understanding. Lord, we don't even see the times you have rescued us, the times you have saved us, the times, Lord God, when you have delivered us. Lord, we're not even conscious of it. But today, at this instant, at this moment, at this time, as we close, Lord, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you that you have kept us thus far, that you have brought us through many, many mountains, many, many valleys. Hallelujah. Lord, you've taken us through many crises when we wanted to give up, when we didn't know how we were going to make it. Lord, we thank you today. We honor you on Heavenly Father's Day. Lord, we give you the thanks. We give you the glory. Lord, as we lay our hands on each other, Lord, we are asking you, Lord God, to anoint the person who we are laying our hands on, whose hands we are holding. Lord, you know what they need right now. Father, I pray, oh God, that you meet that need today, that you be that Father in their lives, oh God, that comforter, Lord God, that would not only be with them, but be in them. We thank you right now for your great grace and your love. Lord, we ask you, Lord, let your angels surround us as we go. Put us on a new level. Give us a comfort, oh God, that we don't understand yet, Lord Jesus. Lead and direct our path. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this afternoon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.